You know, all those times, Angel, when I said things after watching a Broncos game, watching Russell Wilson, saying it feels clunky. It looks clunky. That's my eye test, man. You can give me all the stats you want. I've been watching sports too long to be confused by your witchcraft when it comes to quoting stat lines and box scores to me. It doesn't work. Jared Stidham's game on Sunday, those numbers were almost exactly what Russell Wilson was doing in the win streak. I don't think Stidham is better than Russ. I don't. About the same at this point. Russ has probably got the better big play-making ability. Stidham's better at not getting sacked 4 million times for a big loss. So here's the brass tacks of it, Angel. And again, Zach Stevens will join us from DNVR Broncos to better clarify this. If the Broncos cut Russell Wilson, it results in an $85 million cap charge. $85 million. Plus the $39 million in guaranteed money for 2024. They can split up the cap hit, the $85 million, with a post-June 1st designation. So if they can mix that around, I don't know what that how far they can stretch it. But if they keep him, it's a cap number of more than $90 million over two seasons, plus the $37 million due in 2025. So it's more money if you keep him, obviously. But you can spread out the $85 million. It's not a lot more money. Many might argue, isn't it better just to keep him? That means he's your starting quarterback, Angel. That means he's your guy. If you keep him, you're building around him. You're going to continue with this culture. You're going to continue with this not very good style and then suddenly a couple of miraculous plays. Listen, Russell Wilson is a great on-the-fly player. But we talked about it last year with Hackett. Now we're talking about it with Peyton. You can't game plan that. You can't game plan breakdowns all the time. And for Russ to just work magic, you just can't do it. It's not sustainable. And it's even less sustainable the older he gets. So it's not a huge deal, but it's $85 million that you can spread out, that you can split up, $85 million cap charge. If you keep him, it's $90 million over the next two seasons. So it is more. Not much, but it's more. But you also got to add in the $37 million that would be due in 2025. So it's quite a bit more. You're already going to pay him $39 million in 2024. That's going to happen no matter what. The question is, do you want to... The $85 million cap charge and then the $90 million over two seasons almost washes each other out. Because $85 million is over 1 year, but you can spread it out. $90 million is over two seasons. So it's $5 million difference. But it's also a $37 million, another $37 million. This Walmart money, I mean, the guarantees aren't scaring them. It's the cap hit. It's the cap hit that's scaring them. $85 and $90 million. So you're already done. I mean, you're going to pay it either way. The question is, do you keep Russell Wilson, knowing it's about the same, but you're also like saying, hey, that's our starter. You're not benching him, dude. They benched him this year because of the injury thing. But that's not the plan. If you keep Russell Wilson, he's the plan. There's no quarterback competition for a $225 million guy. There's no quarterback competition for that. So he's the starter. He's the plan if you keep him. So it's a wash. Some are arguing, well, if it's a wash, just keep him. I'd rather have the player, the product, even if it's not ideal, at least I'm getting something that I'm paying for. Others would say, you're almost bad enough where I'm willing to suffer the hit for you to leave. which happens in sports all the time. We see this all the time. They are paying you, was it a line in Moneyball? Isn't it Brad Pitt to one of the star players? They are paying you $38 million to play for someone else. That's how much they think of you. So this is nothing new. And this shouldn't go beyond what it already is. Like, the NFLPA should not step in and get mad because the Broncos threaten him. What I will tell you, and I want your opinion on this, Angel. Do you think it was weird that Russell Wilson in the locker room, like, kind of blew it up? He goes in and basically vents it out. Here's exactly what happened. He confirmed the entire story. Was that a good move or a bad move by Russ?
I'm not sure. I mean, that's...
It seemed a little uncharacteristic.
I haven't seen Russ take that type of position with Denver. Just, you know, in his time here, he's kind of just been very professional about everything. But this is something, obviously, he wanted to voice his opinion
on. So it was refreshing?
And maybe get his side of the story out there a little bit. And like, hey, you're going to hear reports. You're going to hear coach talk. You're going to hear the GM talk. But this is what I'm saying happened. So just so we're clear, this is how I felt about this. Obviously, the injury stuff was important to him because he understands how physical football is, and he had a number of injuries last season. So he, you know, you want that guaranteed money. If I'm going to get hurt, I want to be able to take care of myself, take care of my family.
Yeah, no, sure. I get it. And that's the thing. Like, people like us will look at that money and go, oh, I think you'll be fine. It's not really that. It's the principle of it. It's you're also buying houses and things like that you're now committed to and paying for. It's a different world, so you can't compare real life to these millionaires and what they do. It's still his money. He signed contracts for it. He's playing a sport that we all pay dearly to watch and view. But in the grand scheme of things, Russ airing it out in the locker room, I don't know if it's that. It doesn't bother me that much. And it honestly doesn't bother me that the Broncos asked him to do this. And it doesn't bother me that Russell Wilson said no. Does bother me a little bit that he went to the NFLPA and said, hey, this is what they're asking. And then the NFLPA is like, wait a second, do we have something here? Can we step in, do something? That's the only thing that really bothers me on that side. And obviously the Broncos did not bench him until the final two games of the season, which you could argue, I wish, again, Sean Payton's not going to come out, though, Angel, and say, well, we're benching Russ because after the loss to the Patriots, we're not going to make the playoffs. No, you still mathematically had a chance, so you don't want that to be, because it was a home game, too. You want fans to come out, so you're not going to say that. Was that the real reason? That probably was one of the reasons. Because you can do it now. You're not going to make the playoffs. Let's not risk Russ getting hurt for two meaningless football games and then have to pay him $37 million or whatever.
Well, if they had this conversation, you know, a month ago, what's the difference if he gets hurt after the Chiefs game or he keeps playing and he gets hurt against the Raiders this weekend? The money's still guaranteed. Mm-hmm. So if it was that big of a, hey, we need to get this number, this contract off the books, bench him anyway.
Yeah, they wouldn't. Again, it's the guarantees.
And how much do you justify his effort in that five-game win streak when a lot of that could be attributed to just the defense playing really well?
Yeah, and he came up with about a handful of plays that just really worked, maybe less than a handful of plays. But that was my thought, too, was like, why bench him now with two games? The chances are less now that he's going to get hurt when it was seven games. But
the difference between, oh, he sprained his ankle versus, you know, oh, he broke his ankle and he's not going to be healthy by March.
Well, and I think, too,
if there's a thing within that guarantee about, okay, well, you only missed two games versus missing seven games.
No, it doesn't. An injury is an injury if you can't pass the physical. You know, if it's a minor injury, but then you have to trust that everybody's above board and all that stuff. But, I do think that it was a mix between, yeah, they wanted to save that money, but they also realized, okay, he's kind of playing hardball. He's saying no, and he's playing well. We could make the playoffs, so let's just let it ride. And then
if he gets hurt in the playoffs, then you're still dealing with that concern and that risk.
I don't know if the
it's football.
I don't know if it was a playoff part. I think it was just a regular season deal. But it could have been playoffs. It could have been. I thought it was just regular season. But yeah, I think if things had been better, they're fine with this. Because if they really believed Russ was their guy going forward, this wouldn't matter. This is, we're going to make the playoffs with you. And if you do get hurt, we're going to take care of you because we want you back for next year. But this is Denver saying, we are trying to save $37 million, so this whole freaking thing is not a loss. So we can you sit? We don't really care if we make the playoffs. You're not going to be here next year. The face of our team is going to change. So we want you to sit, and we don't really care if we make the playoffs or not. Because I think Russ at the time would have given you a better shot than Jarrett Stidham.
Well, the timing of it is just weird because what changed from before the Chiefs game to after the Chiefs game when your season was on the brink of tanking versus we can get back to 500 and compete for a playoff spot?
What was their record before the Chiefs game? Let's see. Weren't there? So they were 1-5. Were they? When did they start? Let's see. They were 1-5, and then they beat the Packers. So you're 2-5. Still, that doesn't look good.
Is that around the time when they start bringing this up in board meetings?
Maybe.
Front office meetings.
Well, and the Kansas City game's interesting because right after that was the bye week. So, okay, you won two games in a row. You still have a trip to Buffalo, home against Minnesota. So you're looking at that and you're going, what's the likelihood of us going into the playoffs, which turned out to be one game away. They maybe two if they lose to the Raiders. You looked at it and said, yeah, we won two games. Russell Wilson threw for 194 yards against the Packers, and he threw for 114 yards against the Chiefs in the win. So you're looking at that going, okay, is Russ the reason we're going to go to the playoffs? Probably not. Are we even sure the playoffs will happen this year? Do we want it this year? Do we want a better draft pick? All those things are going through your head. And so when you call Russ and his agents and you say, hey, you're not going to tell them this, but in the back of their heads, they're thinking, Russ isn't the future here. This has not been good. We're not a good team. Russ doesn't look right. It's clunky. I'm sure those words came up. This whole thing's going to be a loss. So if we can save $37 million, let's do it and then tank and get a top pick in the first round.
I mean, but tanking isn't – that's not like, okay, we're going to start tanking, NFL, just so you know.
No, it's Russ's bench, Jarrett Stidham, you're the guy. And I don't think anybody would raise their hand and say, Stidham's the guy, man, he's going to get us there. No.
Does the fans' opinion have any – factor in this, like, oh, we really don't want to tick off our fan base, you know, because half of them are going to be upset, half of them are going to be woohoo, we finally benched Russ.
Maybe, you know, I think Elway liked to tell himself that the fan base didn't impact the decision to start Tebow several years ago, but I think the outcry and people freaking out and chanting Tebow certainly helped them make that decision. So maybe that went into it. Or maybe you sat down and said, Russ is playing hardball. He's not going to waive it. We're 3-5. You beat Buffalo. Who knows? Remember we all talked about trades right around that time, too? The trade deadline was during their bye week. I think those conversations were had, and I think they sat down and said, Russ isn't going to do it. So let's just stay the course. I guess we're going to lose $37 million, maybe, if he gets hurt. And then you start winning games. You won the next three after the bye. And the New England one, though, ultimately, that's going to be the one. That's going to be the one that got you. Although the Detroit game, too, was bad. It was terrible. 20 minutes after the hour, we will have Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos join us in a few minutes here. He'll help us lay this out a little bit better as far as what's going to happen with the Broncos and Russell Wilson. More to come on that. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
Congratulations to Coach Bruce Dick on his induction into the Colorado High School Coaches Association Hall of Fame. Hear the Hall of Famer on KFKA weekdays 10 to 11.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to The Hall Show on 1310 KFKA.
Steamway Florida Ceiling. It's been family-owned for over 35 years. You got to check out the 4,000-square-foot showroom with tile, luxury vinyl, carpet, granite cabinets, countertops. Remodel in 2024 on a budget. They'll sit down with you. Consultation and design and financing options are all there at Steamway Florida Ceiling. Check out their website, steamwayfloridaceiling.com. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. How about the Nuggets over the last month or so? Save for that OKC game. They went on a nice little run there, Angel. That's what I'm talking about. You know, going back to, let's just say, honestly, like, December was pretty good for the Nuggets. What'd they lose? One, two, three, four, five games. That's five games in December. They're 24 and 11. That month was important. That's what I wanted to see from this team. You know, rattle off a four-game winning streak, and then they go on and they get a six-game winning streak. And that, when losing to OKC 119-93, the Thunder are a good team. They're going to be a good basketball team. I will be curious to see what they're like in the playoffs this year. I don't know. I think they're another year away from being maybe like a type a legitimate contender. But it was nice to see Denver quickly bounce back and beat Charlotte on New Year's Day. Coming up next for them, they'll play Golden State on Thursday. Did you happen to watch or listen to the Michael Porter Jr. podcast with Nikola Jokic?
I've been seeing clips of it. I haven't sat and listened to the whole thing.
I have it saved. I haven't watched the whole thing, but I watched the most talked about clip, the one where basically Joker says, I don't really like this life. I don't like being famous, and it's kind of sad being, you know, going out to eat and stuff, and everybody wants to take their phones out, take pictures. Again, that's not breaking news. That's everything we knew. I think Michael Porter Jr. did a great job of kind of getting Joker to open up a bit. You know, Joker said when he retires, he wants nobody to know his name. Like, he's like, another goal would be to get rid of my phone. Again, not shocked. It's part of the reason I like this guy so much. Obviously, his ability, number one. But I like it's just a unique take on all of it. And again, it reminds me of, I always compare him to Maximus from Gladiator, Russell Crowe's Maximus. When Caesar's dying and saying, you should be Caesar, not my son, you Maximus. And Maximus is like, I don't want it. I want to go back to my horses. Yeah, there's even another comparison. Go back to my farm. Go back to my wife. I don't want the fame. I don't want any of that stuff. And he was like this great, well-decorated general. And Caesar's dying, you know, looking at him crying. He says, see, that's why it must be you. That's why it must be you. Because you don't want it. So I always think of the Joker when it comes to this. He doesn't want it. But that's why he's so beloved by fans that know him, that follow his career. Now, if you're like an outsider and you don't watch the Nuggets, you don't pay attention to Joker, you don't pay attention to anything, you just see this really awesome 7-footer occasionally get really mad and, you know, launch guys once in a while. You don't know the stories that we do following him so closely.
I think for casual watchers or fans, they just assume this guy doesn't care. Or, oh, why, like, this is just a job to him, which it is just a job to him. He's getting paid to do a service, provide a product, and that's it.
Yeah.
And
no,
that's not how he was raised. That's not how his culture is in Serbia. And he's a Serbian guy. He's not a guy that came to America to find a new life. It's, I came here to play basketball.
Yeah. Again, it wasn't a shocker. The only thing it does for me is reaffirm that once this big contract is over, that'll be it. I hope there's a lot of championships in between. 29 minutes after the hour, we're going to catch up with Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos coming up next. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, this is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KSKA.
Talking more Broncos, more Russell Wilson, Sean Payton, all that. One more game to go. This Broncos team doesn't really matter, although some say it kind of does. A winning record would kind of be nice. Joining us now, Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos. Zach, my man, Happy New Year. Thanks so much for jumping on the program. Love when we get a chance to talk to you, my man.
Oh, Brady, love being on. It's been too long. And, new year, new Broncos led by Jarrett Stidham.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Jarrett Stidham. Let's go. Give me some Jarrett Stidham, Zach. I'm all in on this. Zach, I want you, first off, there's so many areas I want to go with this, but talk to us about the contract. We know about the injury clause and all that by now, but can you take us through what the cap hit looks like, what ultimately Russ would be owed if the Broncos do, in fact, move on from him in, what, March?
Exactly, yeah. So there, I'm happy you broke it down like that because there's a lot of different angles with this contract. Like you said, the injury guarantee, we know about that, but essentially with Russ now being benched, we don't have to worry about the injury guarantee. The Broncos don't have to worry about that. So what they have to worry about is two things, cash and cap. And when it comes to cash, Russell Wilson, when the Broncos move on from him, they are going to write him a $37 million check to leave. That's how much Sean Payton does not want Russell Wilson. Mm. He's turning to Greg Penner and saying, hey, can you fork over $37 million for a guy that's not going to be here? And when it's all said and done, when the Broncos do move on from Russ, Russ is going to get over $120 million in cash from the Broncos for his 2 years in town. That's not very bad work if you can find that sort of thing. But fans and Sean Payton and George Payton, they don't care about owners' money. And especially when they're worth $70 billion. So what the important part is, Brady, is the cap hit that's going to happen with the Broncos because the NFL is a salary cap driven league. It's why there's parity. It's what makes it the best league in the entire world because everyone's on an equal playing level. At least everyone should be. And so what the cap hit is going to be for the Broncos when they move on from Russell Wilson, they're going to have two options. The first option is they'll be able to eat all of the dead cap, meaning cap that will count against the Broncos salary cap for Russell Wilson, even though he's not on the team. They'll be able to do that either all this year, which would be over $80 million in dead cap. And Brady, that would not just set the record for most dead cap for one player in NFL history, it would over double the old record, which was Matt Ryan, $80 million. The cap's going to be just over $200 million. You're talking about a third of the cap being on a player that will not be on your team. Or the Broncos could do what's called a post-June 1st designation, which would allow them to split up the cap hit over this year and next year. It's not an exact even 50-50, but it would be about $40 million this year and $40 million next year, which would still be the biggest cap hit of dead cap for a single player, and they would have that over two different seasons. So they're really going into a bad place in the cap. That's why moving on from Russ, it's clearly he was not Sean Payton's guy when Sean took this job, but he had to be so much of not Sean Payton's guy for Sean Payton to say, I am going to put ourselves in such a bad cap situation to move on from Russell Wilson. So that's why this is really monumental. Isn't just the Broncos benching Russell Wilson. It's the Broncos saying, it's Sean Payton saying, I don't like Russell Wilson so much that we are going to put ourselves in an awful situation, one that no team has ever put themselves in order to move on from Russ.
Oh, my goodness. Zach, it's depressing, but obviously very well put how you broke that down for us, but very depressing thinking about what the future might look like. Now, I was stalking your Twitter, as I tend to do. 5 minutes ago, you put out something that said there are reports stating the Broncos might not move on from Russell Wilson. Where are you as far as what you've heard? I mean, you're there, you're in the locker room, you're talking to Russ, you're talking to Sean, you're talking to all these guys. What do you really think's going to happen? Is it a foregone conclusion that Russell Wilson will not be a Denver Bronco next year?
Yes, yeah. And Brady, there's really only one scenario in which Russell Wilson comes back, and that's if Russell Wilson takes a pay cut. Now, you're going to hear a lot of things over these next few months because the Broncos are going to have to rework a lot of deals on their team right now in order to move on from Russ. You're going to hear restructure and pay cut. Those are two different things. Restructure is when a player essentially gets a lot of money up front in order for their pay or in order for their cap hit to be reduced this coming season. That is not a pay cut. A player is still getting their money. It's just a salary cap manipulation way. Now, a pay cut is when a player takes less money. Everyone knows what a pay cut is. And that's the only way that Russell Wilson is back. Isn't just if he takes a little pay cut. He would have to take a monumental pay cut, and there's no chance that he does that, Brady. Why would you? He's guaranteed to get $37 million in cash in 2 months, whether he's on the team or not on the team. That number would have to drop to like $2 million for him to stay on the team. There's no reason that Russell Wilson should or will take a $35 million pay cut. Now, I'm just throwing that $2 million number out there. I don't know exactly what it would have to be for Russ to be back, but it would have to be so significant, and there's just no reason for Russ to do that. So, no, in no world. Ian Rappaport was the one that put that out there on Sunday that said Denver might not move on from Russ if there's not a better option at quarterback. No, Sean Payton's already made it clear that this team is going to go in a different direction.
Well, and again, if you just, from my opinion, Zach, watching the games, Russ just didn't look right. And I'm not even, like, Jared Stidham, he didn't look right either necessarily, but the same kind of numbers. It was the same kind of feel. That offense just felt pretty much the same. So that being said, what do you think is the best course of action or the course of action that the Broncos will take for their next quarterback? There's a lot of quarterbacks going to be coming up in this draft. They do have a first-round pick. It'll change depending on what happens this weekend. Do they go after another free agent? Can they afford that? What is the most likely scenario when it comes to who's playing from under center next season?
Yeah, there's options. There's one option which makes all the sense in the world, and I would say is like an 80% chance of likelihood. And then there's so many other options that just don't make sense, really aren't even options. And that number one option is what you pointed to, Brady. It is a rookie quarterback. That is by far the most likely scenario for the Broncos' next quarterback this coming year, is for them to draft a quarterback. Now, this quarterback class, it's a good time to need a quarterback in the draft because it is top-heavy, it is deep, there are a lot of options, but I don't think the Broncos are going to wait for a quarterback to fall to them. I think Sean Payton's going to be ultra-aggressive and move up. Maybe if the Bears decide to keep Justin Fields, you'll actually be able to move up to that number one pick. Now, we're talking that number one pick, Brady, is going to cost a boatload. I'm talking multiple first-round picks and Pat Surtain and maybe something else on top of that. So that would be such a commitment to move up to number one to go and get the quarterback if you're choosing, likely Caleb Williams. But even if the Broncos don't move all the way up to one, I still think Sean Payton's going to be aggressive and trade multiple first-round picks in order to move up to maybe get the third quarterback in the draft. And in order to do that, you're going to have to move up into the top five. And now an argument from fans, Broncos fans, is saying, well, we've already traded so many draft picks. The Broncos aren't going to do that. You know how many draft picks Sean Payton has traded for a quarterback? Zero. He has not made any moves. And Sean Payton didn't take this job to say, okay, I'll make sure that I'm going to keep draft picks. No, Sean Payton does not keep draft picks. Sean Payton trades draft picks in order to move up, move around, get different players. So I think by far that is the number one option and the most likely option for the Broncos is they're going to have Jarrett Stidham and a rookie first-round pick that they likely move up for in the draft come training camp this year.
Who do you think fits? And again, Caleb Williams is so obvious and maybe dropped a little bit, but still pretty obvious. But in a perfect world, who do you think fits what Sean Payton's trying to do? Because I think it's fair to say Russ and probably Jarrett Stidham for one game, that's not really the ideal situation, what this offense is supposed to look like. Who is the guy, in your mind, Zach, that could really get this thing to where Sean Payton wants it to be?
Well, so you have to look at what Sean Payton wants. What did he succeed with for 15 years in New Orleans? With Drew Brees. What was Drew Brees? He was a guy that could win from the pocket. He could read defenses. He could identify defenses. And what does Sean Payton not like? Well, it's the Russell Wilson types. It's the people that win off script. It's the people that Russ couldn't really win in the pocket. That's why we saw Russ struggle for the first three quarters of so many games. And then when did Russ succeed? In the fourth quarter when it was just backyard football. That works in the NFL. That does not work for Sean Payton. So it has to be someone that wins from the quarterback. Like you said, Caleb Williams can do that. Drake May is a pocket passer type. Now, he has a little bit more to his game, too. But getting to number two might be tough as well. So I think the realistic option, which a lot of people got to see on national TV last night, is Michael Penix Jr. That is a guy that used to be a running quarterback, but now with after a couple of injuries, which certainly are question marks and certainly is a knock of him, but he wins from the pocket. Jaden Daniels is a guy that's more of a running quarterback. Now, he can still win from the pocket, so those are a couple of options, but I think the dream scenario for the Broncos realistically right now, not being able to get up to number one, is Michael Penix. And I mean, he has that accuracy. He has a deep ball. He has the poise. He wins from the pocket. He has really everything you want from a quarterback, except for a couple of things. He has had some major injury concerns. That doesn't bother me too much because, again, he's not winning because of his legs. So that doesn't concern me. And then he's going to be 24 years old when training camp rolls around. From Sean Payton's perspective, he's not looking to be here for 15 years. He wants a guy that he can win with now, and he's really focused on the next couple of years. So I don't think Sean Payton cares that Michael Penix is 24 years old, but I think that's the guy that right now it makes the most sense for the Broncos, and he's not going to fall to 14 or wherever the Broncos end up picking. You're going to have to move up to get him.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Last one for you, Zach. George Payton, is he with the Broncos next season?
Yeah, this has not been a good week, a good 10 days for George Payton. Now, it didn't start off looking like George Payton and Sean Payton were going to work long term after that 1-5 start. But then once they made that run, Brady, and there was a path for the Broncos to make the playoffs, that was great news. It was really good news for Russell Wilson's future here, but it was the best news for George Payton. Then losing to the Patriots, then benching Russell Wilson, who George signed to that contract, which Sean Payton clearly is not a fan of that contract. That is really bad news for George Payton's future. Now, I don't necessarily think that the Broncos are going to move on from George Payton next week after the season is over. Maybe they allow him to go through the draft process since he and his crew have been working on the draft for, 7 months at this point now. But I do think probably at some point this year, the Broncos part ways with George, and then Sean brings in someone that he is very, very comfortable with, likely someone from New Orleans.
A lot of changes perhaps in store for us, Zach, and nobody better to cover all of it than you, even getting called out by players once in a while, Zach. You're the most famous reporter there is, my man.
Yeah, I got to watch my back now.
I didn't think there was I know I got a break, but there was like you were just tweeting a fact about Kareem Jackson liking a tweet, and it was interesting. Did he reach out to you at all personally? Did you guys talk personally?
We did not talk personally, but some other people talked to him, and there's he hasn't said anything else, and I think for a reason. I think he understands what happened.
Okay. Well, good. Because, again, I know you're doing your job. You're doing it well. I don't think you're trying. I never thought you were the kind of guy trying to cause anything, and especially not from a tweet like that. Zach, my man, so much respect for what you do. Let's try to get you on very soon. Our listeners absolutely love it.
Oh, and I absolutely love being on. Thanks so much for having me, Brady.
Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. Yeah, Zach had tweeted out something. Kareem Jackson liked the tweets, or some like Ryan Clark saying something about Sean Payton doing this and this, and Russ deserves better. And Kareem liked it and said it was true or something. And Zach retweeted that, basically saying Kareem's liking this tweet. Kareem gets on Zach, tweets him. It says, why are you stirring crap, blah, blah. I only liked it because I liked the defensive Russell Wilson part. I actually like Sean Payton. I've had nothing but good things to say about him. So it was a weird, weird ordeal. 1:49 the time. Angel, let's jump out real quick. We'll take a break, wrap up the show. What did we learn? Coming up next.
To speed with the Rams with the Isaiah Stevens Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jenny Kavanagh from AT&T Sports Tonight, your host for the Colorado Rockies. You're listening to the whole show on KFKA. Fire up the fountain.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
What did we learn on this second day of the new year, second day of January? I learned that it's time. It's time. It's going to be a hit. It's going to suck. But the Russell Wilson thing's not going to work out, folks. And the hit's going to set him back a couple of years. Maybe they can get aggressive and trade up, the Broncos, and get a Michael Penix Jr. kind of guy. I don't know. The Chicago thing is interesting if they do decide to keep Justin Fields. But we can slice this thing up however we want. We can argue about it however we want. It was clunky. I wish Russell Wilson the best, but it's time. He is just doesn't seem to fit. The Broncos doesn't seem to fit Sean Payton. So it's time. Angel, what'd you learn today?
That even with the good games yesterday and with the excitement of the 12-team playoff, college football really needs to get themselves figured out. And it's hard to say what it's going to look like.
Oof,
because
yeah.
NIL is complicated, the transfer portal is complicated, coaches are complicated. I think you're going to see, you know, the talent even out a little bit, but that could be a negative because then there's no real, where am I going to go to play quarterback? Where am I going to go to play to receiver? Because everyone's just flip-flopping around all over.
Yeah, it's tough because you don't have contracts, right? I mean, it's just you got a bunch of free agents running around that are never going to be restricted free agents. Nothing like that, because they are, until they start fixing that, then guys are going to come and go as they please. It's not going back in the bottle, dude. Like, they're going to be able to transfer. That's going to pass. They're going to be able to transfer whenever the hell they want. NIL is just only, it's only going to get crazier. Probably going to have to get to that point where there are some kind of employees who can get contracts out of these guys, because this is chaos, dude. Who the hell would want to even be a college football coach? If you have the option between the two, like Harbaugh, I would jump to the NFL after next Tuesday. I would be in the NFL if I were Harbaugh. There's no way I'd want to stay.
It's going to happen.
I think it's absolutely going to happen. I think he's going to be in the AFC West.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Where does he – Chargers or –
Yes.
The Raiders. Is Belichick going to the Raiders?
No, I think Ooh. The Raiders like their guy.
Do you think they like their guy?
Yeah, you can't make that mistake again.
Maybe they do like their guy. Maybe they do. All right, that'll do it for us. Glad to be back. We'll be back at it on a Wednesday. Huge game tonight, 8:30. Who's staying up with me? I know, Angel, you're probably not. Maybe for a little bit, but probably not.
Your bedtime is now 8 o'clock.
Yeah, it's getting earlier every year, man. All right, that'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.